December 24th, 2023. Myriads? Count 'em if you can. Psalm 68:17, Revelation 5:11. Okay, our reading then. Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them, as at Sinai in holiness. And Revelation 5:11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands. A reading today, then, makes a reference to the numbers of angels in the unseen realm. It's translated, that word myriad, from a single Greek and a single Hebrew word, depending on New Testament, Old Testament, of course. Your Bible may read something slightly different. Rather than myriads, it may say twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands, or it may say 20,000, even thousands of thousands, NIV, tens of thousands, etc. Well, the translation, really, the thought behind the word, it makes no difference what the translation is that they are numerous and innumerable in number. So, we rarely give a thought, perhaps, to these created beings, even though as numerous as they are, except around the Advent season. So today, I want to allow that record of Scripture to more fully enlighten us on their identity, their function, and their importance in God's plan. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you today that all things have been created by your hand, everything with a purpose. And it would seem, Lord God, that your purpose is to draw every one of your creations of men to yourself, to share in your glory. And as such, Lord God, you have created many beings as well to share in that work and that ministry toward your people. And we give thanks for that. And just reveal to us today, again, what your word has to say to us concerning these, your creations. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, to some folks, you know, angels are okay. For in the Bible and Bible stories, children's stories. But to believe that they even exist and much less have any role in the modern world is pretty hard to believe by some folks. Even in Jesus' day, there were those who even doubted their existence or actually denied it. The Sadducees, for one. Even though Jesus himself, some Christian intellectuals will deny the existence of angels and beings. Some of the things we've heard coming out of seminaries. But the point being is that even Jesus spoke about angels. And so it is just as much an error, though, to dwell on angels to the point of where people worship them or seeing an angel in every woodpile as it is to deny their existence. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at numerous verses here, and we'll probably go fairly quickly through this because it's kind of a long list. First, the Bible abounds with verses that describe the work and the ministry of angels. Many verses. We find approximately, 296 to be exact, direct references to angels throughout the Bible. They are mentioned in 16 of the 39 Old Testament books, including books of Moses, the historical books, the major and minor prophets, and the Psalms. They're mentioned in 17 of the 27 New Testament books, and by every New Testament author, everyone. What's kind of interesting is there's actually more references to them in the New Testament than the Old Testament. And one of the things that's very interesting also, we find that one of the many references to them in the book of Acts, there's 21, but guess where? There would be 70-some, and that is in Revelation, the most mysterious, you might say, of books. Many references to the angels. And one of the things we find is it's not a progressive revelation in the Bible, and like so many other of our theological things. We talk about salvation, and it is a progressive revelation, but not so with angels. They are spoken of matter-of-factly throughout the Bible. And so, as we examine the scriptures, we do recognize that God created them with specific missions for them to accomplish, and he also meant for us to be well informed concerning them, even though there is certainly a great amount of mystery regarding them. So, we are to be comforted by the scriptures and by the creation of the angels. Okay, so we might ask them, what does the Bible say? What does it reveal to us about these angels, their number, their nature, their purpose? First, we see, let's see here, they are a created being. They were created by the Lord, and they are eternal. When I say eternal, that does not mean they are in eternity past, like God himself, who had no beginning. But from the day of creation, they were eternal. Psalm 148. Let me just turn to that a moment. Psalm 148. I had a marker here. Here we go. I think I got it. And it fell out. Okay. Let me just turn the pages there. I want to get to that one. Psalm 148. And it says in verse 5. Well, actually 2 and 5. Verse 2 says, praise him, all his angels. Verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So we see, it was just like everything else that was created. God commanded, he created. Psalm 103, very similar to it. We'll get back to that one in a moment. Colossians 1:16 tells us that, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth. But it also says, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible, those invisible things, those creations, the angels and other, the holy ones, they were all created by God. It says, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. All right. You know, we sing a hymn, for thou hast created, has created all things, thou hast created for thy pleasure. We find in Isaiah 43:7, Revelation 4:11, that he has created them, and he has created them for his glory as well. Angels have been around a lot longer than man. They were witnesses to the creation of the world. If you look, Job 38, kind of interesting that, what was it this morning, Jack? There was some reference to that in creation that you were listening to on the news and denying, you know, well, we're going to know everything one day, how it was, and we're going to look back, what did they say, and we're going to kind of laugh at what we didn't know. Again, I had a marker here, and they all keep falling out of my Bible. I have to get better glue. Let me get to Job 38:7. Well, in fact, I can kind of tell you what it is. The Lord spoke to Job, you remember that? And he spoke to him out of the whirlwind. And he asked Job, he says, you know, where were you when I created things? And Job had to stand there with his mouth hanging open. as God spoke. And he says, where were you when I designed all things? And then he goes on to say, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who are the sons of God? Sons of God. They were those who were there before man was created, before even the world. He says, where were you? He says, when all of this stuff was first created. And at that time, when I called them into being, he says that the sons of God, they shouted for joy. The angels and all the created beings at that time. So they've been around a lot longer than man. Jesus said that those who attain to the resurrection cannot die anymore, for they are like the angels. So they go back well before man, but they are eternal now. Countless numbers of them we said at the beginning. And we saw that in the beginning, I called it myriads, that particular word. I kind of like it for that. But as we look at it, we see, like, say, for example, Daniel 7, and 9, verse 9 and 10. In his vision of the throne of the Ancient of Days, what does he see? Thousands upon thousands standing or attending him. Myriads upon myriads before him. What we kind of see, those attending him are all those created beings, those angels and the other things. And before him in that vision is undoubtedly all of those, the believers and others as well in that vision. But you see the thousands upon thousands attending him. When Jesus was arrested in the garden, and Peter cut off Malchus's ear with his sword. Jesus said that he could appeal to his father. Remember, he said, and he would send more than 12 legions of angels. A legion, a Roman legion in those days, was about 6,000 soldiers. So he said that he could have sent 72,000 if I wanted. Comparing that today, what is a division in the army today? 12 to 15,000 or something. But it would have been like a brigade, him sending six brigades of soldiers as well. So that's what he's talking about here. Thousands upon thousands. We see in Matthew 26:53 when Jesus was arrested in the garden and Peter cut off Malchus's ear with his sword. Jesus said that he could appeal. Oops, I'm reading the same thing. Hebrews 12:22, I wanted to go to. It talks about innumerable company of angels. And in the, again, the New American Standard, it talks about myriads and myriads of angels. Okay, so they're innumerable. They're powerful. Powerful. They're endowed with great power. And you can turn to it again. I've lost my marker in there. It's also in Psalm 148 and also in Psalm 120 as well, that they are powerful. Psalm 103:20. Bless, there I wrote it down. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. That's Psalm 103, verse 20. Just as the Lord's, just one of the Lord's angels, if you may recall from 2 Kings, struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians in one night and killed them. 185,000 in one night by the hand of one angel. That's 2 Kings 19:35. Their appearance can be terrifying. It can be terrifying as the initial reaction of one who has seen an angel in all his glory is often fright. Remember, Zechariah says he was troubled and fear gripped him. That's Luke 1:12. The word troubled here in the Greek, it means to strike one's spirit with fear and dread, to render anxious or distressed. We see with the shepherds, it says they were terribly frightened, using that same word, at the appearance of just that first angel in Luke 2:9, before the glory showed up of the thousands of angels around him. Them. At the tomb of Jesus, it says the guards were so afraid of that angel. Remember, the angel came out and it rolled away the stone and sat upon the stone. The Roman guards were so frightened, they shook and became like dead men, the NIV says. Verse 3 says, his appearance, this angel, was like lightning. He was dazzling. You wore white, a white garment, a bright white garment, but his appearance was like lightning, and it caused those guards to be so afraid that they shook and they became like dead men. The women were told, remember at the tomb also when Jesus had risen and that angel appeared to them, Mary, as were Mary, Zacharias also, when an angel appeared to God to them, they became afraid at first. But one thing we do notice, when an angel appears to God's people, he immediately tells them not to fear. But that is not so with the unbeliever. Not so. So, though they perform the word, the Lord's word, and obey his voice, we know that they also have a free will. Whoops, got behind here. There we go. They have free will. They can obey. They can choose to obey or not to obey. 2 Peter 2:4 tells us that God did not spare angels when they sinned and so came under God's righteous judgment. Isaiah 14:12 through 15 and Ezekiel 28 describe the fall of Lucifer. They chose, of course, to disobey. We find that angels have emotions. They have emotions. We read in Job, they shouted for joy. You can do it. They shouted for joy at the creation of the universe. And their message to the shepherds also, it said that in that message they brought glory to God and praise to him. So they have emotions. Again, we say they're subject to authority. 1 Peter 3:22 tells us that following his ascension to the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers are subjected to Jesus. Following Jesus' resurrection, they were all, and as his seating at the right hand of God, all of these were then placed under Jesus' authority. In 2 Peter, the second chapter there, we're told that angels, in spite of their great might and power, do not bring to the Lord a reviling judgment against those sinners that revile or blaspheme angelic majesties. They are subject to authority and they don't take it upon themselves. Okay, what do we know then about the ministry and the work of angels? They are powerful guardians and soldiers. When Adam was driven from the garden, God stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned in every direction, to guard the way to the tree of life, Genesis 3:24. When Daniel was in the lion's den, remember that, God sent an angel to shut the lion's mouths, Daniel 6:22. And you remember when Daniel was in prayer and he was trying to understand one of those visions that he could not understand. It tells us that an angel came to help him to understand that vision. That's Daniel 10:12 through 13. It says that this angel, he says, he was held off for 21 days by the prince, the angel of the kingdom of Persia. And those are one of the fallen angels in charge of Iran, that particular area. And then finally, Michael, a chief prince, came to help. So we see in that chapter of Daniel 10, angels coming to help him to understand. They minister to him. In the end time, Michael and his angels will war, it says, with the dragon, Satan, and his angels, cast them out of heaven. That's Revelation 12, 7 and 8. Angels of God then are sent to administer his will and his judgments on the earth. Throughout the book of Revelation, we see angels holding back the winds, introducing the various judgments. In spite of this, they are not to be worshipped. And you remember when the Apostle John, had that vision, it says the angel revealed to John these great things that were about to come, and John fell down to worship the angel. He was corrected immediately, and he was told to worship God as the angel was a fellow servant as well. According to Colossians 2:18, even in Paul's day, there were some who were worshiping angels and were corrected by him. Angels are ministering spirits. It says, sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. That is Hebrews 1:14. Lot and his family were protected by angels in their home. When the men tried to force their way into the house, they were struck with blindness by these angels. Lot and family were forced by the angels to leave Sodom before it was destroyed. Ministering spirits sent to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Angels ministered to Jesus after his battle with Satan in the wilderness. They comforted Jesus in his time of trial in the Garden of Gethsemane. They appeared to the women in their time of sorrow at the tomb of Jesus. They opened prison gates for Paul and Silas that they might escape. An angel released Peter from prison and led him out. Although the evidence is thin that we have one specific or a guardian angel, people talk about that, yet it does seem that there are always angels watching over us. In Psalm 91, verse 11, remember that, when Jesus was being tempted and Satan came to him and he pointed out this verse, he will give his angels charge concerning you. Matthew 18:10 says, their angels, speaking of the angels regarding the little ones, he says, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. The little ones. And of course, they are heralds of divine appointments, as we see, of course, around Advent season and around Christmas, telling Zacharias that his prayer, that of Elizabeth, was heard, and that they would bear a son, that he would be great in the eyes of the Lord. The announcement to Mary that she had favor in God's eyes and would conceive by the Holy Spirit. Telling Joseph and Mary that the child was of the Holy Spirit. Warning Joseph to flee Egypt and when to return. The announcement to the shepherds that the Savior was born, etc. You see the picture. You see the point. The angels, they are innumerable. We have such sometimes a small vision of them, and I suppose some of that begins in school, grade school, as young kids. I remember almost every one of the kids at one time or another make an angel, you know, for the top of the tree. We still have gales in the top of our tree every Christmas. And it's kind of like Noah's Ark, you know, how kids are taught. You see that little ark and animals with their heads sticking out. And we kind of have some of these things in our mind. But I wanted to point out all of these scriptures. And you can take a outline of the message here that has the references. But take your concordance and look, you will be surprised. You'll be surprised how much activity there is. And I think if we could look into that spirit realm, as I've said once before, all of the activity taking place there, it would amaze us. We would be especially surprised, I think, to see what is taking place specifically on our behalf. Again, Psalm 91:11 says, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. They will bear you up in their hands. And I'm not going to share that testimony again. I did some years ago where I experienced this. I would not be standing here today, or I would be terribly, terribly incapacitated by what happened to me. And I know it was God's angel that intervened. But I want to read you one more. And this is just recent, on Friday. Came out in the Breaking Israel News, this story. Let the love of the brethren continue. Let me just mention one other verse, Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this you some have entertained angels without knowing it. So what do we see in these two verses? Their ministering spirit to render service for us. They sometimes are unseen. But let me share this one story. And this was again in Breaking Israel News. And I'll just read the one paragraph. Years ago, as a United States Marine, I was about to board a helicopter to join the ground troops in a new area. As I was about to board the helicopter, a captain stepped up and told me, "You will not be going on this trip. Wait for the next chopper." I said, "Yes, sir." I stepped back and watched this chopper take off. It went out, and suddenly the rotors stopped turning and it dropped out of the sky. I thought to myself, I was almost on that chopper. I turned to someone and asked, "Where is the captain?" And I was told, "There is no captain here." I realized at that moment God had saved me from getting on that chopper. What I did not know at that time was that my little white-haired grandmother had been praying God's Psalm 91 for protection over me. I was saved by her prayers. Our prayers can save others who are in combat with the enemy or in danger. And of course, we know it was God who saved this man. But so interesting that Mom was praying the 91st Psalm. Some of you heard the testimony of the guy that was on that plane in Tenerife, how his mother was praying for him and he was preserved during that terrible time. But yet we see even the intervention, perhaps, of an angel in this case as well. So once again, go through your scriptures and you will see that God has provided for us in so many ways, including even the angelic beings. Father God, we do thank you once again here today as we shared in this your word, Lord God, and what you have revealed to us, what's in the unseen realm, the things that are going on today. The activity today has to be just ferocious with what you see going on in the world as well. But we are ever so thankful that your angels have charge over us, watch over us, keep us in their care, that you, Lord God, have chosen to grant these things to us in your special blessings. And we give thanks for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.